that we learn always at deeper levels at all times. So it's not a straightforward thing that we want to think about, okay? But let's pray together. Now, Father, we pray that you will teach us how to learn, how to exercise that trust in you. And we pray that you will minister to our hearts and encourage us as we dwell on your word. And we pray that you will bless as we take time to ponder. And we pray that this word trust will become more and more a part of our life, of our faith, of our practice. And pray that you will grant us your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we are going to take a look at 31, at the first part of it. And it says there, right at the beginning, in you, O Lord, I put my trust. Right? Now, it's easy to begin with just words. In you, I put my trust. The question is, how does it really work in real life? And I think this is something that we need to think about very, very, very carefully. How do we exercise that trust? Okay? So we begin with Psalm 31 and in verse 1. And then that trust comes back again on when we take a look at verse 6. And there is it, I trust in the Lord. And the contrast over here is those who place their trust in idols. Now that becomes an obvious challenge. Obviously, we are looking at two different things, right? What is the object of our trust? And in the context of the psalmist, in the context of David, already the beginnings of people who turn to idols is already there. So the question is, how do we place our trust? It's always good to locate what is the object of our trust. Right? It could be anything. In this case here, it could be idols. In our modern day context, is a fat bank account. That is our trust too, right? Or whatever it is, it could be anything. And that is always kind of dangerous, but there it is. Okay? And then in verse 14, but as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. And that trust is tested. In the circumstances of life, in the times of our life. Right? So the challenge is, how do we understand this word trust? And we need to look at it very, very carefully. Right? And of course, verse 19, so there we go. Your goodness that you have prepared for those, laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you. So in four important strokes, so we have 1, 2, 3, and 4, the word trust is spelt out. And it is not an easy thing to actually practice, but we're going to try. And so this evening, we're going to try and see whether we can look at this, at these things here. Okay, in the midst of all among wickedness, so much wickedness, look, and 3 and 5 and 6 and 7, many, many of the Psalms, we are dealing with the problem of wickedness that is in the world. You won't get away from this problem of wickedness. Anywhere, everywhere, any country, every country has its own forms of wickedness. Wickedness exists in the world. Right? Question is, what do we do? And so we begin with the first word, and that is trust. So that we see this very obviously. Right? Now, so you've got to ask yourself again and again and again, when you say you trust, what do you really mean? For many people, it's just a word. The challenge is to put it into actual reality. Right? So this is what we are looking at, and so we go back a little bit into the idea of trust. Okay? In the Lord, we put our trust. 31 and 6 and 14 And this is a real challenge. So when we think about the Lord, trusting the Lord, what does it really mean? Now, we have to figure this out. Okay, so we are told is he really a rock and our fortress? That is the question. Okay? Now, if it is true, then you have what we call a therefore. Right? Every time you have a therefore, you always ask, what is it there for? Now, that's important. What is it there for? Well, where we go. So I say, I trust the Lord. He is my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me, guide me. That is the whole idea of trust. Can you see the whole idea of it all? So if I'm going to anchor in, the Lord is my rock, the Lord is my fortress. What am I trusting in? What can I get out of it? Well, the Lord will lead, the Lord will guide. That must be our understanding. See, because we talk about trust in the Lord, and then we still worry about this and that. Well, obviously, you may say you trust, you don't. So every time you say you trust, you always ask, can you put a therefore? And if you put a therefore, what do you have? Will he lead? Will he guide? That is what God is there for. Isn't it? You see what I'm trying to say? So therefore, the Lord is going to lead, he's going to guide, even if he's rock and fortress. That must be our understanding. Now, that is how you take out the idea of, okay, this is absolutely important. All right? So this is something that we want to look at. So if we ask ourselves what we really want to talk about, and we talk about the trust part of it, this is important. Okay? So these are the things that we need to look at. We look at the ramifications of trusting. If I really am trusting, what should I look for? Look at the things we should look for. But this is absolutely important. Okay, let's look at three, and we say, well, he will lead. He's leading. Now, that is important. Right? So this is what it has been for Bethany, for me, as I trust the Lord. Now, it's not just simply, okay, just trust the Lord, do nothing. No. The Lord will lead. Right? In 20 Jalan Lakum, in 40 Jalan Bangau, in 301, he will lead. Will he not? To India, to Australia, to Myanmar, will he not lead? That's what trusting is. It's not trusting and do nothing. I'm trusting, I'm doing nothing. That's not what it is. Trusting must be trusting the Lord to lead, isn't it? I'm just trusting. What are you doing? I'm just trusting. I'm sleeping, I'm trusting. Same. No, it's life. And life needs leading. The problem is we don't know what's leading, who's leading, and so we lead ourselves. And then we end up, I'm stuck. I've got a problem. Because you went to go ahead and do it, the Lord will lead. Our part is to trust. But trust is not passive. Trust is following the Lord's leading. Right? I don't know, because maybe you can't see it as clearly because you are just where you are. If you started at 301, you can't see the earlier years. But it is so good to trust. We were there at 20 Jalan Lakum. Right? And then 40 Jalan Bangau. And then combined together. 20 plus 40 equals 301. Right? Now, that is not our type mathematics. But what if that is God's mathematics? 20 plus 40 equals 301. And that's where we are. And you see, that's what it is. So that's the Lord's leading, obviously. Because where else, how else can we be here unless we see the Lord's leading? That's one. Number two, you see, when God, what's the difference with leading and guiding? Isn't guiding leading? Yes. But leading and guiding has to do with all the details. Right? I will guide you in the way you should go. Don't be like the horse. Don't be like the mule. There is general leading. There is specific guiding. Isn't that wonderful? See, we must look for the guidance of the Lord in specific areas, in specifics. Right? Where to go? This is where David again and again asked, should I go to Keilah? What will the people do? Yeah, go. Are the people going to betray me? Yes, leave. And that's 2 Samuel 23. Again and again and again, the Lord's guidance. The guidance will be given if we seek. Well, let's go back to 2 Samuel again so that we can see this. Otherwise, we really, really can't see this, right? So this is, 1 Samuel. We take a look at, okay? In 1 Samuel, and we'll see this. And there we go. So 23. So he escaped. Okay? So he escaped from there to the cave of Adullam, chapter 22. Right? And so those who were there, those in debt, those in stress, discontented, they came to him. And the Lord began to lead and to guide. Right? And so as we go into 23, therefore David inquired of the Lord, shall I go and attack the Philistines? The Lord said to go. Verse 4, then David inquired of the Lord once again. The Lord answered him, arise, go down to Keilah. And then we read in verse 10, then David said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has certainly heard, will a man of Keilah deliver me? And he says, yes. And the Lord says, yes, and they will deliver you. So what do you do? So David stayed in the stronghold and remained. That is the guidance part of it. Right? So there is leading and there is guidance. They're not the same, but it is good to be able to learn how. And the key word is the word trust. How do we trust? And that is something that we need to think about. He's leading. I hope you can see this. So it's a day-by-day thing. It's a year-by-year thing. It is a ministry-by-ministry thing. It's a country-by-country thing. So you don't take, okay, God is going to lead in Bethany. It's the same in India, the same in Myanmar, the same in Perth. Not true. So I minister differently in different countries. You have to do that. That's how it works. Right? You see the whole idea? Okay, I have a general sense of leading. Go to do missions work, which is exactly what God wants us to do, isn't it? This is very obvious. Go into all the world. So we go into all the world. Now, when you go into the world, in Myanmar, in India, and in Perth, do you say the same thing? Do you do the same thing? No. And how do you know what to do? Look for guidance. Trust in the meantime. So trust is not a passive word. It's actually an active word. You got to seek the Lord in prayer on your part. And there is a trust. The Lord will lead. The Lord will guide. First, there is the disciples of old. Stay in Jerusalem until you receive the power of the Spirit. So they stayed. Now, after you receive the power, what do you do next? Well, Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts. And the circumstances of life will guide them, push them, help them to fulfill whatever they need to fulfill. So there is a leading and there is a guiding. Does it make sense so far? You see, so we need to exercise that trust, that understanding. So it's never passive. Question is, how does that work? The leading and the guiding part of it. Okay? Now, this is absolutely important. In the meantime, what may we expect? Right? That's a question. So when we look at Psalm 31, we have to ask ourselves, what may we expect as we consider these things here? Right? There are many, many things to look for. You mustn't think of leading and guiding as if they are static things. They're not. One of the things that we can look for, and thank God for that, look at verse 4, you are my strength. There we go. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. You are my strength. You see, so there will be all kinds of things, all kinds of pitfalls, all kinds of nets, all kinds of snares that people will try to entrap you with. So as we trust the Lord, what may we expect? And there is what we may expect, strength. Right? In all these things, you need that strength. Right? So in strength was what we talk about, renewable strength in Isaiah 40. But that was what exactly Elijah the prophet experienced. So one day he told Ahab, the rain is coming. It would have been without for 3 years. So all the rain cloud is going to be poured out with a vengeance. So he sent his servant, go and see. Tell me when the cloud is coming. So the servant went 7 times. Here there is no cloud. And then finally, the servant came back. There's the cloud, the size of a man's hand. So he tells the servant, go and tell Ahab. Run with your chariots. Run quickly. Ride quickly back. The rains are coming. Because if the mud roads are muddy, remember they're not metal roads, they're mud roads. They don't have asphalt in those days. Your wheels are going to get stuck. And guess what? Ahab was on his chariot. Maybe he didn't take it seriously. Maybe he was riding leisurely. Elijah ran past the chariots. Strength. You need that strength. And it's absolutely important. And every time we go on the mission trip, it is strength that is needed. Right? Up early. Sleep late. Each day. Every day. And find the strength to teach the whole day through and more. That is strength. That's what God promised. So what am I trusting the Lord for? Lord, you lead me, you guide me, and you know what? I need that strength. That is what strength is all about. See, so the trust in the Lord, how do you know you're really trusting? Well, He will lead with reference to general direction. He will guide with reference to specific activities. And in the meantime, in the process, you will find the strength you need to cope with whatever you need to cope with. I think that is absolutely important. It makes sense to you about trusting the Lord? So it's not a passive thing. I'm going to sit there and read my Bible and pray every day. That's not what it means. So trusting is a very, very active thing to consider. Right? And then in 31 and verse 5, into your hand I commit my spirit, you have redeemed me. Now that is... So when we can't get out of a sticky situation, the only way is for God to redeem us. There's just no other way. The redemption of the Lord, or his deliverance, or his salvation is what it is. Right? So when you wind the same set of caves, and here is King Saul breathing down your neck, the only way out is for God to redeem you. There's no other way. That's what it is. The redemption will take place. Right? So this is something that we must... Sometimes we just get caught. We don't know about how people will work things out, and if things can turn out really badly. So how do you extricate yourself out? You can't fight your way out. The best thing is for God to redeem you out of all those things. And that is something that you need to think about very, very, very carefully. Okay? So this is something that we want to really, really thank God. And then in verse 7, okay, this is absolutely important. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy. You have considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversity. This is so much 2 Corinthians 1. Isn't it? Where the Lord will be the God of all comfort for us, the Father of mercies. That's what we're looking at. Right? So can we talk about trust? Yes. What then may we find? Gladness, joy in the Lord. Because we cannot but see his hand of mercy in our life. Right? So trust is not a passive word. Right? Trust is you will see God leading you further. You will see God leading you personally. You will see God strengthening you. And when you are in a really tight spot, trust God to redeem you, deliver you out of that situation. That is active trust. Otherwise, what do we have? We don't have anything. See, unfortunately, many people think of trust is more like rust. Right? So the things are all so rusted up, you want to unscrew also cannot. You go to see Stanley for the thing, how to unscrew all the nuts and bolts. They've rusted. No point. You've got to have trust, and trust is not rust. Unfortunately, many people were rusted in their faith and their life, and they're stuck there. It's not meant to be like that. So watch your soul. It's alive. It should be. Right? So it's so good to see, where is God leading? How is God guiding? Where is his strength to cope with all of life's challenges? Right? And in the midst of it all, the Lord grants joy and gladness in the heart that you cannot explain how that works. It's just there. That's how you see your trusting. That is a man who is trusting in God. Right? Now, that is something that you really, really thank God for. There are adversities, you know God. God, you know my soul in adversity. That's trust. You see, so the word trust is not a straightforward word. And you think of it, okay, I'm trusting God. You'd be surprised. A lot of us don't actually trust the Lord. We trust in ourselves. We trust in our plans. We trust in all the little things we do. The best thing to do is just to really learn to do this. All right? So watch for God's leading. You cannot sit still. Watch for God's personal guiding. Look for strength along the way. I think those things are important. And if they're not there, don't move. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Right? So if you don't find the joy and the gladness and the strength, then don't move. Don't move ahead. Because you're going to find nothing but, you know, you'll find a lot of your soul is just in topsy-turvy. Don't do that. It is so good when we talk about trust, we find the Lord's mercy. It is absolutely wonderful. And it's something that we want to consider with all our heart. Okay? And we see verse 7 and 8. You've known my soul in adversity. You've not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a wide place. There is the mercy of the Lord. Right? You see the whole challenge of it all? So this is what David actually experienced. And that is important. But when he came into trouble, which is verse 9 downwards, he really struggled with putting real trust. You see, it's easy to talk about it, to even write about it. But when he was in actual physical trouble, look at it. Look, can you see the actual trouble? 9 and 10 and 11 and 12 and 13. He is really greatly troubled. That is the problem. Can you see the problem over there? Right? So he's my eye wastes away with grief. My life is spent with grief and sighing. My strength fails. Can you see this? So all the things that he has written about trust, when it's actually applied, he struggles. And I think no need to condemn David. We all go the same way. When we are actually tried, we are just almost washed out. That is something that we need to. So I'm forgotten like a dead man, out of mind, broken vessel. I hear the slander. Okay, so 9 to 13 talks about his struggles. So how do you get out of it? Return to trust. Can you see the movements of Psalm 31 here? Now, I'm just trying to help you to understand Psalm 31 all over again, because since a long time we read it again, it's like a new psalm again. And look at all the blank faces, and I'm worried. Yeah. I'm so uplifted. And then, So I'm just trying to help us to understand what trust is all about, right? And it's an active thing. There is God's leading, the Lord's guiding, the Lord's strengthening, the Lord's helping, the Lord's redemption. But when we actually are in trouble, my eyes were sighing, eyes tears, crying, my energy all spent, I'm tired and worn out. Oof. I think most of us are familiar with 9 to 13 than we are with 31, 1 to 8. So what's the way back? The answer, you've got to find a way back. You cannot do it like, look at verse 14. What is the answer? The answer is the way back to God. As for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. That's what he said earlier. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. So you've got to go back to one. Right? Well, that is something that you need to look at. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies. Okay, make your face shine. Save me for your mercy's sake. It's not new. Okay, now this is something that we need to look at very, very, very carefully. And we need to look at this all the time. How do we get out of it? I think we all need to ponder this very carefully. Right? I think our greatest difficulty is applying what we need to learn. Okay? Okay? I'm going to share with you something I shared this evening when I went to see someone in the hospital. Okay? And I want to share with you what I call a spiritual compass. Do you have a spiritual compass? Supposing you are lost in the wilderness, how do you get out? Most of us, even if we look at a compass, we don't know what to do with it. What are we doing? Why does it move all the time? We don't know what to do with it. But a compass is needed. A lot of people, unfortunately, don't know what a compass is. What do I do with it? Remember, the compass will always point to true north. Always. Unless it's dropped until it's spoiled. Okay? Now, these are your compass points, and I want to share this with you so that whenever you're stuck in anything, what do you do? Right? And the compass points are found very, very carefully. 2 Corinthians 1. And we need to take a look at this very, very carefully. Okay? 2 Corinthians 1. And so this is something that you want to learn to have in your life. And I really hope that you will be able to practice this so that if nothing else, you know how to navigate yourself. Because if you cannot read Psalm 31 and apply, hopefully this compass will help you. Okay? Now I call it a compass. What is God's compass? True north is always the grace of God. For by grace we have been saved through faith. Grace. So Paul says, there go I, but for the grace of God. Paul says to Paul, when he asked for the thorn in the flesh to remove, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. My grace. Look at this. So every time you're stuck, go back to God's grace. That is your true north. Okay? Now this is absolutely important. But then you say to the Lord, but God, all my plans have gone south. What happens when all your plans go south? There is the mercy of God. So up there is the north. That's God's grace. And no matter how far south, God's mercy will be there. He's called the Father of Mercies. The mercy net will catch you. Right? So you fly, you fall down from the high trapeze. That is the net. If there is no net, you're sunk. You go splat. But there is the net of God's mercy. Understand this mercy. It is a wonderful thing. That's God's safety net for you. God's mercy will be there. And how rich is God's mercy? You can't measure it. Right? He will have mercy on thousands. That is a God. He is called the Father of Mercies. 2 Corinthians 1. It's called the Father of Mercies, even as it's called the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Now, what are the other two compass points? Comfort. Comfort is God alongside. On the east and on the west, you will have peace. Always navigate one way or the other with this spiritual compass. When everything is just fallen apart, make sure that a compass still works. And you always go back to the true north. And therein is the grace of God. You can't go wrong with that. Right? And when you cannot understand north and grace, then understand mercy. It undergirds. Right? Well, I need someone. There is his comfort on your right hand. And on your left. See? Like the compass points here. So we are that thing. That's what it is. So this is north. And that's south. And that's comfort. And that's peace. It will always be there. That is how we understand how we can get out of any difficulty in life. So you need to rebuild your life. Compass points need where? You're lost in the sea. Right? Everything is lost. What do you have? Navigate. Star. North. South. East. West. You'll find where you are. Right? And you are in the palm of God's hand. How wonderful it is to be able to see the grace and the mercy and the comfort and the peace of God. At all times. Right you are. It is right in the center of it all. Isn't that wonderful? To me, that is so absolutely wonderful to see. the Lord's grace, the Lord's mercy, the Lord's comfort, the Lord's peace. And if we can apply these things in your life, all times, then you can navigate your way. That's what trusting in God is all about. What am I trusting in? In a God of grace, in a God of mercy, in a God of all comfort, in a God of peace. Isn't it? And the peace of God will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And the God of peace will be with you. And the God of peace will crush Satan at your feet. Well, that we have the God of peace. See, the problem is we don't have this. So we don't have a compass that will lead us out. Right? Now, I guess if some of us want to figure out things, we don't know what North is all about. You know, we always go left and go right and go up and go down. Try it. Do you understand this? It's very, very important. Okay? So when you go in the west, and they will tell him, go up north. And then you don't know where that is north. But it's important. So there's Northern California and there's Southern California, and they're not exactly the same. Well, that's what we need to. We all need to know. So west, north, these are the northern states. These are the southern states. This is the eastern state. This is the western states. You can figure it out. That's what it is. So this is the Midwest. So then after a while, you can figure out, oh, this is where all the states are. See, that's how people will know. Otherwise, it's a name. This is where we are located. And this helps us to find our place. So when we talk about trust in the Lord, we must ask ourselves, how do we go back? Okay, so we start with theory. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Right? But then it's a real life. Real life, we mess up 9 to 13. So what do? Go back. Okay, let us go back to trust in the Lord. And when we go back to trust in the Lord, my times are in your hand. Go right back to learning how to trust in God. Unfortunately, many times in our life, much of life is like a repeat. Like, it really, it's called a rerun, unfortunately. So every time we have a fall in America, you have rerun. Oh, those reruns go back years. Nothing new, so rerun. And after a while, people have fed up with rerun. Much of life is rerun. Right? So that's what begin. And that's what is the third one. So the first one is Lucy. The second one is Linus. What's the third one called? Rerun. Same. So there is Lucy, and there's Linus, and there's rerun. After a while, that's what it is, rerun. It's the same thing all over again, unfortunately. Right? So these are important things. For much of life is like that, unfortunately. We just don't know how to get out of it. And we wish we can. And you must at least try. Right? So how do I look at a compass? I need to understand this. The whole theology of it all. There's grace, there's mercy, there's comfort, and there's peace. Okay. Now, I need to place my trust in God of grace, God of mercy, God of comfort, God of peace. Right? I'm trusting here. Now, that's where I begin. So you can say, I trust in you, O God. You are my north and south and east and west, as He is also my Alpha and Omega. Yeah, you are also my first and the last. See, that's how we understand how God fits in. Right? That's how we look at all the aspects of life. Sometimes we get confused. We plan this, we plan that, it doesn't work. We try this, we try that, it doesn't work. Try God. Rather than try this and that, try God. And that might well help you a little bit more. Okay? So when all else has failed, again, your grief will come, sorrow will come, tears will come, cannot sleep at night. What's the best thing to do? Go back to square one. Trust. I placed my trust in you. So that's why you get 1, 2, 3, 4. The word trust comes back again. 1, 2, 3, 4. In north and south and east and west. Then you know where you are, right? So if that is east, then it must be west. Where else can it be? Right? That's how we work out. So if we can figure out where we are, at least we know what's happening, right? So that's how we... So when we talk about trusting God, what do we mean? We have to trust in a God of grace, a God of mercy, a God of comfort, a God of peace. And it's all He's described in all these areas, in all these words, in all these phrases. And that is what we need to think about very, very, very much. So don't feel really bad about the whole thing in any way. Right? Think about these things here, and that's what we want to do. Okay? So in the meantime, watch for the Lord's leading. It's not a standstill situation. If we're a standstill situation, we'll still be back in Jalan Lakum. No, He's going to lead us. Right? All the time, lead us. There we go. I think that's important. So sometimes leading and guiding can be very, very special. So on Sunday, we had a very long meet session. Right? So I was very surprised. So many people want to become members. Then realized, you're over 20 people. It will take a long service. We'll be here until Easter. So not so good. So when with so many people all in one shot, usually at Christmas time we split into two parts, so not too long for everybody. For you it's important, but remember, rest of the congregation, another one. They'll be sighing a lot, and that is not good for worship. So there's too much sighing, it's like, better not. So there we go. Okay, guidance there, and then, Lord, what do we do with all these people? You cannot say, that. You've got to say welcome. So how do you say vanakkam in a different way? All right, so we're going to decide this way. So those who are going to come for baptism, pedo and adult, will be here in church. Well, that's nice. This is where it should be. But the rest already know the Lord. Where can we welcome them? We will welcome them at Shangri-La. That is nice and special. So there we go. So there is that was what we're going to do. I think that's going to be nice and special. So as they come up the stage, the pastoral team will be there to greet them one by one. And then we are going to do something. I am still thinking whether we want to try to do this. It would be nice. Okay? So we are going to see whether we can pray for them. But we pray for everyone. It's the same like here. It'll be a long service. So we're going to try something different. Watch for the special elements, which I'm not telling you. You got to come for the Easter Sunday to find out, so that we can say, wow, what's so special? Well, let's figure it out. Some things are good to wait, you know, then wait for the next, this is just a trailer. And then we stop at that, and then we look at the actual, when we are at Easter Sunday. But you see, this is how, so we see the guidance of the Lord, and there is joy there, and there is gladness of heart there, and there is peace there. No, it's not different. It's just a different group of people. But we just want to make everybody feel special and feel welcome. See, very often in church, we have people who are baptized, everybody's excited, a reaffirmation, everybody's excited. When it comes to a transference, okay. So that is not great. So I want to do something different. Those who are going to be reaffirmed, special joy. Right? So Camille says, and that was the first Sunday school student when she was a little one. So suddenly she grows up already, and she grows, feels so old. Not old, just grown up. But it's just such a joy to see this growing up. It's what I'm trying to say. And to you, it's also special, isn't it? Well, of course, wow, we're going to be welcome at no less than Shang. Well, that is kind of special too. So let's make it special so that people will literally welcome, listen, we welcome you into our midst as well. And I think that's important. Right, so the children are there to be with a family, and I think that is kind of special. It really, really is special. You know, I think that's really, really wonderful, right? And of course, of special joy is to see, you know, Joanne's mother-in-law and Jason's mother, you know, and you know, I hope she keeps coming, but she may not. But she's always asking all those wonderful questions that puts all the student pastors in serious trouble. And but, you know, it's such a joy to see such interest in discovering faith, discovering more about God and everything else. It would be such a joy. And I you know, I invited you, please plan to come back and, you know, give trouble to the intern pastors so that they will be always put you know, on their toes all the time. And they're on the ball all the time. It's just such a joy to be able to see, finally, wow, suddenly there is an understanding of what faith in God is. Finally, an understanding of what baptism is, that we want to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. And she's my age. So it's just a special sense of joy that comes to the heart, right? You see the whole idea of trusting. So as we pray for people, we trust the Lord is leading, we trust the Lord is guiding. In the meantime, we find the strength, we carry on, we teach, we keep on working at it, we keep on praying, we keep on working until there's a bit of a breakthrough. And therein is our joy. See, that's how you see the Lord leading. Let's see how the Lord guiding, and the Lord's strength is there, the Lord's gladness is there. To me, that is just absolutely wonderful. So something to look forward to. See, Christmas is already something to look forward to. Same because it's Christmas. But Easter, So I wanted to do something special for Easter. So I thought, well, this is a wonderful opportunity to do something special, to welcome them in a very, very special way. And so that's it. So I'm going to find some books to give to everybody, just to as a welcome gift. And I think that is something that we want to look at. Now, praying against the wicked is something that we need to think about. Okay? Now, this is something that we need to consider very carefully. Now, most of the time, we pray for ourselves. The word is pray for. We seldom think about praying against. And we should. Right? Now watch this very carefully in this very special part of it in Psalm 31. Okay? So we can look at Psalm 31 and then we see this special part of it, which is really, really challenging to consider. Okay? And then in verse 17 and 18, right, we have a praying against. Now, that is important. Why I call it the praying against? Because that's the nature of imprecatory prayer. Can we pray against? Yes. How do we pray against? Right? Now, this is something that we need to look at very, very carefully. Okay? So there we can pray for the Lord, His face to shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. Can we make that prayer personal? Yes. Remember, the Lord's leading, the Lord's guiding. Not only in general direction, but also in specific circumstances. So that's leading and guiding. Right? Now, how do we pray against the wicked? This, we begin here. Right? Let's begin here to begin with. This is actually mild imprecatory. That is strong imprecatory, right? So we begin with this one here. Oh Lord, I have called upon you. First, do not let me be ashamed. Don't let me be disappointed. But what about the wicked? We make a distinction between Israel and Egypt. From the third plague, God made a distinction between Israel and Egypt so that they may know that this is the hand of the Lord. This is the hand of God. Right? So when the water turned into blood, the Egyptians, magicians could do the same. Why is beyond me? Why do you want to turn more water into blood for? Why don't you turn the blood into water? Now, that would be good. To turn more water into blood, It's a silly thing to do. Then the frogs came. They also can do the same thing. You get frogs jumping all over the place, jumping into your soup, jumping into your bed, jumping everywhere, and you want to create more frogs. You don't know which frog, whether they're the actual frogs, original frogs, or their own, whatever. But when it came to lice and all the others, they couldn't do it. And so the Lord make a decision from a third miracle onwards. Israel and Egypt were distinguished. This is distinguishing between the righteous and the wicked, between God's servant and those who are not. So this is a powerful prayer to make, but be careful, right? Be careful how you offer this prayer. Let the wicked be ashamed. Right? Now, this is absolutely important. Let the wicked be ashamed. Further, let them be silenced in the grave. Wow. See? So from mild to strong. Now, that is not an easy prayer to make. So you've got to learn all the lessons of trust first, very carefully, before you finally make this prayer. And we talk about let them be silenced in the grave. Because once that happens, it's the end of life. Right? Then thirdly, let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak insolent things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Praying against the wicked is not to be taken lightly, is not to be taken easily. Don't take this for granted, lest you be found amongst the wicked and he visits you. Right? So make this prayer very carefully. And yet, is it, we ask ourselves, is it a valid prayer? Yes. Right? But remember, there is the mention of the wicked. Right? Let the wicked first, let them be ashamed. May they come under conviction of their sin. May they realize that they are wrong. May they realize that they should not pursue the line of wickedness. First level. Right? But should they not repent? Should they continue with wickedness, then the second, let them, is after the first, the second is there. What is the second? Let them be silent in the grave. So you mustn't take them as if they are exactly the same breath. No. 1:17, first part. First, let them be ashamed. May they realize their error. They may realize their sin. They may realize their wickedness. May they repent. That is the first prayer. But if they do not repent, they continue with wickedness, then the second prayer will take place. What is the second prayer? Let them now be silent in the grave. And they are not easy prayers to make. They are powerful prayers. And they are not easy prayers. And sometimes when God hears and answers prayer, and the wicked are silenced, and the wicked are punished, and you see them, the sense of pity and sympathy comes. It's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of God like that. Because they will be disciplined. They will be punished. Right? So thank God for Hosea. The Lord said, I will punish them. But if they repent, the Lord said, I will comfort them. And I will open the door of hope, the door of Achor. See? So I always offer these three things. 1, punishment. 2, comfort. 3, hope. This is Hosea chapter 2, which you won't read for quite a while. But that's important for us to take note of. Right? So this prayer cannot be made easily. Right? You mustn't, if you have a rival business, may they perish. Cannot pray like that. Because yours might perish along the way. So you mustn't pray things like that. But remember, the first prayer is, may they be ashamed of what they're doing or what they're saying. May they repent through conviction. May they confess their sins. May God forgive. That is always a prayer. But if they do not, then a second prayer may be made. Let them be silent in the grave. That would be a final prayer. Now that is where it is. Okay? Let the lying lips be put to silence. The silence here is the silence of the grave. Not a silence as he keep quiet. The context will tell you. Which speak insolent things, proudly, contemptuously against the righteous. And they will perish. That's why we must never be afraid of people who attack us or people who become our enemies. The Lord will deal with them. So that's why we never are afraid. Okay? So this is something that we must learn. Well, that's another lesson of trusting in the Lord. Okay? Now, I just want to, before we conclude, right? So we're going to, that's so important that we what was the song number? Three what? Okay, good train. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. And we're going to sing this hymn together for our own comfort. Okay, and this is where we read, under his wings. Now, this is where we trust. Right? Under his wings, we are safely abiding. Though the night deepens and tempests are wild, still I can trust him. I know he will keep me. He has redeemed me, and I am his child. Can you see this whole idea? So this idea of redemption is a very, very beautiful picture of how we can trust the Lord for all these things. And it's something that we don't want to take for granted in any way. And so something that we want to really, really appreciate. This is Psalm 17, right? Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. Now, that is where Psalm 17 and verse 8 would come in. And it's a very, very precious thought. Under his wings, what a refuge in sorrow. How the heart yearningly turns to his rest. Often when earth has no balm for my healing, there I find comfort and there I am blessed. Under his wings, what precious enjoyment. There will I hide till life's trials are over. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. And this is something that we need to do. So under his wings becomes a very, very special word of comfort. That is our trust. Okay? So this is Psalm 17:8. Some people memorize scripture. Some people memorize songs. We can do both. And that's so absolutely wonderful. So let's sing this together before we pray. Under his wings. 3, 5, 6. Let's give thanks together. Our Father, we thank you. We can learn precious lessons of trusting in you. Father, forgive us when we just fail to understand how to actually practice trusting. And each time we go through trials and problems in life, we find ourselves caught up with sorrow and worries and anxiety. Lord, teach us lessons of trust again and again. Help us to find a compass for our life in your grace, in your mercy, in your comfort, in your peace. And I pray that you will teach us how to use this again and again so that we can get out of all the problems and challenges and difficulties in our life. And we pray that you will encourage our hearts much. Lift up our eyes, O Lord, to you. Teach us how to trust you a little bit more with each passing day. We give thanks that we can learn and keep learning, even though slow the pace may be. We just give thanks that we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our great High Priest, who will help us in our prayer. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for being here. We'll see you in about 3 weeks' time. Pray for the Easter program coming up. The Easter concert, Easter Sunday, and then next week already we have a whole Easter program with Maundy Thursday and all. But let's look forward to a wonderful time of special worship. Good night and God bless.